Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan from said Bangor Wine and Cheese right here in the house with us.
Hello. It's nice to be talking to you again, or for the first time. So, first of all, before we talk about wine, the Yardbirds better than Zeppelin. But of course, everybody, if there's two points. A, Zeppelin was Yardbirds part two.
Yes.
And point number two is that, is your argument because you also got to have Jeff Beck and...
Yes. And, I think that's...
Okay.
He is fairly critical of the drum work.
In Led Zeppelin. Has he ever heard Four Sticks? Okay.
We'll find out.
I would ask him. And I respect his,
songwriting. He says songwriting. Yeah. And not for their entire run, but in this little stretch, late 60s, when Jimmy Page was involved.
Yeah.
Jeff Beck is there.
All right.
After Clapton left.
I will listen to the segment before I go to my next engagement this evening and eagerly await that, because, boy, that's an interesting statement.
He said he expects, this isn't a piece of Collins Gunn and Salon, he expects to be dragged to the courtyard and Robespierre'd.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. Mix in a little bit of French Revolution.
Good to go.
It was interesting, by the way, his piece on the thing about Schubert was interesting. I enjoyed it. I've sung many of those songs back in my former life as a classical singer. Winterreise and some of the things that are not in that cycle or other cycles. It was not his only cycle, but... absolutely beautiful stuff, and I think it's really kind of interesting. It was a very good interview, and it was thought provoking, so it was cool. Mm. He's a good guest. I can't believe he comes up with this stuff every week. It's honestly, I struggle to talk about wine, and like wine's like literally what I do. So it's kind of cool. Speaking of what I do and why we're here today, so as you all recall, we're sort of restarting with a new year. We restart our journey into wine and. How to explore wine, how to talk about wine, the different aspects of it. And so today we're doing our now infamous How to Taste Wine Like a Pro sort of show. There's no right or wrong way, but I do like to kind of, coach everybody in what I do, at least, and when I'm observing wine, and hopefully it'll help you folks appreciate things a little bit more. The first thing that I always tell people is that basically I don't think most Americans know how to smell wine or anything. I don't think we're taught to smell what we eat or drink. My evidence for that is always the fact that I used to drink 6 cans of Pepsi a day, which was both very bad for my health. And, if you try to, now I go back to it, and I'll have like the occasional Coca-Cola on a long, road trip or something, just to keep awake and things like that. And they have no smell. It's very odd. It's like it's just like this caramel bubbly thing. And it may have its place, but I think its place has supplanted that of good quality beverages that are made out of more natural things. And I think, that's obviously where wine comes in and beers come in and things like that, because it's really fascinating the variety of smells that you can get out of fermented grapes, hops, barley, and things like that. Distilled, it's really remarkable when there's beverages that are real, that they smell, and also food. I mean, I'm sure Carrie can give us a little, insight into this, but the pumped out smells of your favorite McDonald's or other fast food establishment is pretty much, it's fabulous, and it's chemically, designed to appeal to all the worst parts of your receptors, but real food is a far different thing. It's far more subtle and complex. And so I think that the first thing I want to tell people is that you must observe and regard your wine. And that sounds very haughty, but I mean, really, seriously, like, take some time with it. Even inexpensive wine, like, just look at it, smell it, taste it. And of course, tasting is such a misnomer, because you're doing so many of these things before you ever taste it, right? I mean, as soon as you pour it in the glass, and this is sort of how I start with how you taste wine, drink wine out of clear vessels, please. I go to so many of these, shows and these home shows and whatever, and people have these colored glass and painted glass and things like that, and those are really nice for white elephant parties and things like that. But if you're really, like, trying to drink wine, have a glass that has no coloration, and preferably a stem. Now, of course, we're breaking that rule in here in the radio station because stemmed glass glasses would be a bad idea amongst very expensive equipment. So we have...
And around me and Carrie, let's be honest.
Indeed, yeah. Generally.
Fair. So we have clear, reusable plastic glasses instead. But this allows you to see the wine, right? And seeing wine is so important, just like we use our eyes to judge so many things. Because wine, when it's youthful, looks youthful. And when wine is older, it looks older. And if wine is young and it looks older, that's probably a problem. Just for a quick, you know, a quick hit, basically wine is very consistent when you look at it in the glass. If you, you know, tilt the glass or whatever, it's very consistently hued from the inside to the outside of that circle of wine, right? Whereas when it ages, it tends to go a little bit more towards a bricky brown color, either red or white, and then the outer rim gets a little more pale. And you can definitely tell the difference. And so use your eyes, see if it looks like what it should look like, right? So if you're drinking like a nice fresh white wine that's like 2016 Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc or something like that, and it looks really dark and yellow, I wouldn't drink it immediately before doing other things like smelling the wine. And that's the biggest part of tasting wine, right? You've got to smell the wine. Swirl the wine around in that glass. It gets the esters in contact. The esters are those things that hit your olfactory nerves and tell you that it smells good or bad or whatever it smells like. Gets them in contact with the oxygen, gets them all happy, and smell the wine. And don't just smell it like you're being a fool, you know? Smell it just like normal smelling, like you'd walk into a bakery and go, ah, not just snorting up your nose and stuff like that. That's really silly.
And you know, what's great about wine too is that it forces us to slow down. I think that's one of the reasons why we don't often take advantage of that aspect of food or beverages, is everybody's in such a hurry to wolf things down instead of savoring each bite, each sip, each aroma.
Absolutely. And as a, you know, my old manager, Teddy, used to call, you know, what we all very typically do, a retail lunch, right? Like standing up, you don't even sit down, you just chomping on stuff and go, you know, and absolutely slow food and slowing down is a key component. And I think that's why, you know, so many people talk to families as well about sitting down to meals. Taking an extra 5 minutes is very important. So yeah, you're right. And maybe that's one of the reasons I like wine so much, is it's a little more ruminative and you just have to take a second if you're really going to appreciate it. And of course, you know, when we're talking about smelling the wine, folks, by the way, this is what's so important about your schnoz, is that there's so many different smells versus taste, right? When you put that wine in your mouth, you're getting sweet, sour, salty, blah, 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 blah. But are you getting grandma's apple pie? Are you getting baked cherry? Are you getting garrigue, which is that, you know, the wild herbs in the French countryside sort of thing? What are you getting? Are you getting maybe fungi? Are you getting bilge pump?
Ooh.
Are you getting rotten potatoes? Well, if you're getting bilge pump or rotten potatoes, maybe you've got some sort of problem with that wine and you don't want to put it in your mouth. So there's another good reason to smell your wine, because maybe you don't want that in your mouth. And if it has that, by the way, that sort of rotten potato smell, it's probably trichloroanisole, right? We'll talk about that in the coming months. TCA, very, very common thing, also called corkage. But if it has that, put that cork right back in that bottle and bring it back to your favorite wine merchant. And if they're a worthwhile wine merchant, they'll take it back and make you happy. And never hesitate to do that, by the way, because we all can be compensated up the chain for that. That is a known problem in wine. And then, yeah, finally, put it in your mouth. Swirl it around. See how it feels. Does it feel full body? Does it feel light? Does it feel like it's touching all parts of your palate? Or does it feel like maybe there's a part of your palate, like maybe the mid palate isn't all there or something? Is it what you expected? Did you expect it to feel real full? Did you expect it to be light and crisp? Because that's an important part of tasting wine. Did it meet your expectations? And why? And is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, I think that's the most important thing for you as a consumer, is this wine meeting your expectations? Is this a wine that when you expected smelling it and putting it in your mouth that you were going to be like, oh my gosh, I've never had anything like this. This has a depth of character that I've never, and the salesman said, you know, yeah, it's $25 and I only wanted to pay $20, but this is the best wine ever. Or did you pay $30 and you're like, wow, this tastes like something I would have paid $7 for at a Hannaford. It tastes thin. It tastes cooked. It tastes blech. So did it meet your expectations? That's an important thing. Anyway, I'm running out of time, and I did want to touch on the fact that this Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m., we are hosting our monthly tasting at Bangor Wine & Cheese. We are going to be drinking Cellar Defenders, tasting Cellar Defenders. Cellar Defenders are those bottles that I say everybody should keep around, especially if you've got a couple good bottles around, because frankly, you're going to run out of wine, and then your wife is going to come to you on a Tuesday and say, my sister's coming over, and we're having spaghetti. Do we have any red wine? And you're going to look and you say, we have one, but it's that $100 bottle that we got for our anniversary. Should we open it? Because I don't want to either. And then you're going to head down to your convenience store and buy a six-year-old bottle of Barefoot that you probably don't want. So buy Cellar Defenders, have a case of them around, good wines that cost under $20 that are delicious and that you can open when your sister-in-law comes over. So 5 to 7 p.m. this Thursday at Bangor Wine & Cheese. And if you have any further questions about how to taste, do ask. We're always happy to help.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine & Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon. If you miss a segment, they're right up on the website as well. Click on the Message in the Bottle tab. It's all there for you.